Hey, yo, we about to tear it up. Hey, yo.
Break for break, get down.
This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Breaking Out of This podcast. We break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, a.k.a. the potty mouth of the South.
And my name is Chris Mitchell, a.k.a. the actual factual.
Yes, my dog.
Yeah, man. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?
I don't know, man. That was a mixture of like London and American dog.
Yeah, yeah. That was, know yourself. That know yourself out here, like you say, innit?
That wasn't insincere, bro. That was insincerity. Yeah, yeah. That was insincerity.
It was very fake, very plastic and very synthetic. But it's okay.
That's because I don't... Because you know what, bro? Fuck everyone, innit?
I know. We need to get you a shirt. We need to get you a shirt with that on the front, actually. It's long overdue.
Well, when everyone said, what was it? Detroit versus everybody. It was just fuck everyone versus
everybody.
Yeah,
and we should do it in the same font.
Yeah, fuck everyone. Yeah.
That's you at this point. That's you.
I'm really sorry if you're listening to this really early in the morning and you've decided to switch on to Breaking Atoms and hear me swear. I do apologize. Sorry about that. Sorry, but not sorry.
Yeah, sorry, but not sorry, innit?
Sorry, but not sorry. Right? we have a legend, man. I love this guy. Dylan Green, someone I really respect, and I just love his energy. And I keep telling him he's a legend. He don't believe me. He's a legend, man. I love this guy, and I think he's doing exceptional things in the writing space, and he's merging his passions with his podcast, Real Notes. And I like him. He's a good brother, and I'm really glad we got to chop it up with him.
Yeah, and he also didn't want no smoke on Maricot.
Yeah, but I don't know what happened there.
I sent my code.
Okay.
And everyone's just running, innit? But it's fine. Everyone's just running, bro.
Everyone's running what, from you?
Everyone is running from me. Donna Chessman, K Knight, Dylan Green. The only people that really want it with me on Mariko are like the Japanese man them. But I can't beat them.
I can't beat them. Do you know who's not running away from me?
Draper.
No, Apollo Brown.
No, leave him alone now. Leave him alone. This guy's out here just chilling, selling clothes, making beats. And you're provoking him.
I've engineered this invisible, not even non-existent tension between me and Apollo Brown. That doesn't even exist. He doesn't even know my name.
Yeah, he don't care.
But
he
I've just engineered it for no reason. Yeah, I love that guy, bro.
He don't care.
I love that guy. But no, Dylan's a good brother, and I'm excited to have him. He's always welcome on this platform. If you aren't familiar with Dylan Green, get familiar, Clinton Sparks. I've always wanted to do that. Yeah, there you go. That's a nice little reference.
You're such a cornball.
Yeah, Clinton Sparks, get familiar.
Get familiar. Look. What's the other one they say? It's not as corny. They say, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Bruv, like, you know, sometimes, you know, life happens, innit? You know, you can't be ready all the time, innit?
That was Clinton Sparks' drop when he used to have mixtapes. Get familiar. That was his thing.
Yeah, it was. Oh, well.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Dylan Green, Breaking Atoms podcast. Check it out. It's another special episode of the Breaking Atoms podcast. And today we are joined by a legend. He calls me a legend. I call him a legend, so go figure. But
he doesn't call me a legend. You're a legend, bro. Stop it. We've already talked about this.
Calm down. Don't do that. So we're talking to someone. I've got a thing. This is all freestyle, right? So you got to let me. I'm going to have to just go off like Hove, innit? We are talking to someone who is at the intersection of rap, culture, music, film. This guy, when he puts his pieces out, he's the go-to. You know, he's a legend because his pen game is so ill. We're talking to the one, the only host of the Real Notes podcast, Dylan Green. How you doing, man?
Oh, how y'all feeling, man? Thank you for having me, and thank you for that crazy intro. Like, I don't feel like I'm there yet, but you know, having my distance to the target there, every time and shit. Like,
you're there. Don't worry. Listen, I'm like, I tell everyone, like, I put on Twitter, like, I don't know, last year or something, I'm the West Side Gun of podcasting. I can see shit before it happens. I'm telling you right now, you're a legend. You will be, and you'll solidify your place. Chris is, legend too. I got to give it to him now, innit? Because now you said it, innit? I got to give it to him now. This is like old school Breaking Atoms, where we go at each other for no reason, even though I love the guy.
But here's the thing though, bro. Mm. Even if you don't say it, I know who I am, innit?
Wow.
Talk your shit. I know my contributions.
That's my contributions. Right, the thing is, so does WAC 100, and that's a different story.
No, don't matter. I'm the liner notes in living form, bro. You know what? I know what I've done.
I've been wanting to tweet this, but I didn't want WAC to come for me. So You know, on Twitter, and I promise you we'll get to this interview, Dylan, but you know, on Twitter where people go, you know, me, the whole world, and then me, that kind of format where, you know, they're trying to show that someone's talking about themselves. It's like me, the world is ending, World War III, all these things, WAC 100. Yo, Ice-T is from New Jersey. You know that, right? Ice-T is from New Jersey. You know that, right? That's all he's talking about, even right now. Ice-T is from New Jersey. All right, anyway. Let's calm down the festivities for a second.
What a welcome.
Yeah, for real.
Dylan, man, welcome, man.
Thank y'all for having me, man. Like, you already know what it is. Like, I appreciated y'all having me on for the Blueprint special that y'all did. And I'm a huge fan of what you do over here. And just like, you know, like there's just like, thank y'all, man. Just thank you. Thank you for the platform. And, you know, like, and like real quick before we get started again, like, Chris, you have fucking music with Odyssey, bro. Like, don't talk to me about not being a legend. Like, just, you're
But you want to know the story? That's a crazy story. I'll share it real quick. Is that one day I was at work. I worked in the city at the time, and I got a call from Summit. Summit was like, "Look, I've got an interview scheduled with Odyssey. You know his music. I know you know his music. Why don't you do the interview?" So I said, "Sure." So Odyssey came to the office. Him, Summit, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time. Odyssey comes to the office. We do the interview at the office, and we went to Nando's afterwards. That had chicken, got primitive. In his words, we got primitive. And it's crazy because when I was telling him about the music, he's like, "Oh, I know you. I've heard your music. Yeah, you know you can rap, right?" So that was one of the earliest forms of validation I got from someone who I considered like GOAT level. So he was like, "Yeah, let's do the song." And bro, he knocked out the song quick. It was one of the easiest transactions, you know, from an art and a finance perspective that I've ever done. So, and you know what I'm happy as well is because I wrote that verse in like 20 minutes and I don't feel like I got washed.
You held your own. And like Sumit, like, you told me stories about falling asleep in the studio with fucking Common talking to me like you're not a legend and shit. Like, stop. Like,
I'm a certified legend out here. People need to know. I'm coming out with that legend talk. I'm doing the Elliot Wilson. I'm just a goat, right? But no, that generally speaking, that honestly, if we people will listen to this who don't know me and go, "What an idiot! What a conceited mofo!" It's not that. I'm super humble. I just feel a bit energetic today. I haven't felt energetic for ages. Hey. So it's just one of those things.
That's great.
Yeah. I took a big shot.
Thank y'all. Wow. But yeah, thank y'all for having me, man. Like, for real, like, this is gonna be so much fun. I've been looking forward to this, so let's do it. I'm ready whenever you are.
So let's start with cross promotion, because we're all about, you know, spreading the love here, right? So Real Notes, the podcast. And I talked about it, you know, in the intro, you're at the intersection, right? You're right there in the middle, directing traffic, and in a really good way, in a really credible way. It's very important. But it also feels like you're, not to use the wanky term, but you're supercharging your passion, right? You're using something to kind of, you're giving yourself another creative outlet. So talk to us about the inspiration behind it, why you chose to do it, and why did you want to kind of do film and music in that respect for yourself?
Man, I watch a shitload of movies, bro. Or at least I used to. I don't watch as, like, I mean, like, I try to watch as many as I can, but like, I'm trying to think about how I want to tell this story. So I started out as a film critic, and like, I've always loved music. Music's been in my life. Like, my father used to sing, and music's always been there because of that. But like, I kind of took to writing about film easier when I first started. And then when I transitioned over into like writing full time, my OG, and I think our friend, our mutual friend, Jerry Barrow, shout out to Jerry always and forever. He kind of helped me find my footing when it came to like applying my writing to music, and just like helped me figure out that I could do it, because I didn't really think I could do it. And then over the course of like me kind of building up my career, I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, I love these two things, and I feel like people kind of look to me. Well, like, not even look to me, but just like, I want to be able to talk about both these things in the same way. And like, I spent years being like, how can I do this? Like, is there like a column I could start or some other shit? And then maybe about, when did I start this? Like, over the summer of 2020, I was like, wait a minute, I can make a podcast. Like, cause like, people have been like, "Oh, you should make a podcast. You'd do great at a podcast." And I was like, "I don't know. I want to have a really good idea if I'm going to do that shit." Right. So I was like, wait a minute, I could take, and like, it's like, wait, everybody loves rap music and rappers love movies. I love movies. We could do this. So I was like, wow, that's what I want the idea to be. And I just like, I spent maybe about 6 months kind of putting this idea together and figuring out how I wanted to do it, like how I wanted the format to be, who I wanted to get started on. Like I had to figure out like how to do podcasting because like I didn't know anything about like the host servers and RSS feeds. Like I'm like the most basic podcast person you could possibly imagine, bro. Like I just like I had to do a bunch of research and just figure it all out. My partner Desiree got me this mic that I'm using right now. And I just like gathered up a couple of friends who I had talked to and been like, hey, I wanted to do this thing. And they were like, yeah, sure. And we made it happen somehow. And then on my birthday, it's almost been a year. It's going to be a year next Friday on my birthday. It's been going for about a year. And, you know, like rap and film are two things I feel like it's kind of corny, but like those two things saved my life. Like they're the reason that I like talk and like have words to say, you know, like I didn't say my first words till I was 4 years old. And like whenever I started talking, it was about rap and movies or like not about rap and movies, but about music and movies. You know, like as I got older and started listening to more rap, like then it became rap and movies. But like, you know, these two things saved my life. And I think I could say they saved a lot of other people's lives. And like that intersection, they just complement each other and they go together. Like music complements film and visuals complement music, like whether that's music videos or whatever. So like that intersection was so ripe and nobody had really tapped into that in that particular way from what I'd seen outside of maybe my man Gary, who's running Cabbages and doing his thing over there. Always, yeah, always shout out to Gary. You know, like our, yeah. our shows are a little like they're not exactly the same. Like he watches a movie and then they talk about it. But my idea was just to be like, I want to talk to rappers about their relationship to movies and like how that works. And like, you know, like it's just, you know, like it's just an excuse to kind of get people to come out of their comfort zones a little bit and talk about something they might not get to talk about. Cause like we were talking off camera about interviews, like people, you know, like people do like 50, 60 interviews talking about the same shit. Like if you're going to come on my show, we're going to talk about at least one other thing that you wouldn't talk about nowhere else. So that's what I'm hoping for. And I hope that's what I've given. Thank you to everybody who's been listening. Like I appreciate you more than air. For real.
Wow.
Yeah, it's deep. That's deep. I was going to say, as an art form, interviews can go F themselves. And Chris gave the right, he came up with the alley-oop of as a record star, the label. Yeah. Interviews can, done. Chris, go for it, man.
I was going to say, man, like in terms of, you know, the bridge between music and film, like I love concept albums, you know, Good Kid, all that kind of stuff. What are some of your favorite hip hop concept albums that you thought were cinematic in its approach?
Oh man. Well, I mean, Good Kid is a pretty easy fit there. But if I were to come with one, that's so tough. The first one that comes to mind is Childish Gambino's Because the Internet, like, which I feel like is real controversial for a lot of people. It's real divisive. It's like one of those love it or hate it projects. But I have a very special relationship to that project. It came out when I was in college and I like went to the little Rough Trade thing they did when there was a Rough Trade in Brooklyn. Rest in peace to Rough Trade in Brooklyn, because I know Rough Trade is big out by y'all. And they get originated out there. What am I saying?
Yeah.
But long story short, like just the fact that Donald Glover took the concept that he was doing and decided to like release a script of it and do like a whole like multimedia presentation, like I hadn't really seen anything like that before outside of like a digital deluxe album that came with like four music videos or like something that maybe like Gorillaz had done before. Cause like Gorillaz were always kind of cool with those deluxe edition DVDs. And like, so like the story is real vague, but the music and the visual aspect of Because the Internet always really fascinated me in that way. So like, I would say that's one of mine.
Have you ever heard A Prince Among Thieves by Prince Paul?
Oh yeah, I had the vinyl sitting right next to me. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Actually. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's a film. Like Chris Rock was actually supposed to do the movie for that.
Oh really?
It never happened. That's one of my favorites. And have you heard Disposable Arts by Master Ace?
Of course. Yeah. No, that's one of my favorites. I love that album.
Yeah, you're in it. So yeah, those are mine.
Right. Yeah, nah, like Master Ace, what's it called? The one the school one that he put out like five years ago. Yes, The Falling Season. Like I love what he did with The Falling Season. Disposable Arts is incredible. man, yeah, those are just great albums. I agree. Okay.
You know, Summit has encouraged me recently. He says you need to start writing more. Like, he tells me I should do a bunch of stuff, innit? Like, but you know,
I'm a pushy guy. I'm a pushy guy.
What does he know? Innit? He got me out here like a worker. He's like, go and do this.
Hey.
You know what I mean? So I've been writing a lot, and I gotta say, I have a whole new respect for people like you as writers. It's really easy to sit there and criticize someone when they've written something. They should have said this or they didn't cover this. But what you guys do is an art form. And yeah, I write songs and stuff, but it's been a totally new experience for me. How do you get into the process of you saying, I'm going to pick a concept to write about, whether it's film or music? How do you get in the zone to start, and what's your process throughout? Because I struggle and I'm like, I don't even know where to start sometimes.
Where do I start? So like, that's such a difficult question, because I feel like it changes every day. Like, you know, like naturally it starts with something like I'll listen to the thing or watch the thing that I'm writing about and just like take my time, just like really, or actually not a perfect example. Right now I'm working on it'll be out by the time this comes out probably, but I'm currently putting the finishing touches on a review of the Elzai and Georgia Amel drill record, Zeitgeist, which is really tight. Like her beats are out of this world. So like with that, I started with the album. I usually do like a cursory listen. Like if I'm listening to an album, I usually like to do something that keeps my hands busy. So I just kind of like live with it. Like if I'm like walking somewhere, I'll put it on then. Or like I play games. Like I'll play like a game that doesn't require me to listen to it. Like Mario Kart. Yeah, you see, you got me.
I got smoke for you, bro.
I've been waiting. You told me you wanted to come with
it. I said to you, send me your code on the DM in it.
Dylan, he ain't ready, bro. He ain't ready. Send me the code, bro. Pull up, innit?
I sent you that shit a minute ago, son.
All right, I'm gonna send you my code again. The new ones are coming out. What? By the time this is out, there'll be the deluxe course. I got smoke for you.
Come
bro.
On the FIFA thing. I'll wash both up together on FIFA.
You about to kill me on FIFA, bro. I haven't played FIFA in years, but I'll do it anyway just to have some fun with it. But it'll either be like Mario Kart, or like I play a lot of Knockout City, the dodgeball game, which is a lot of fun. And or like Apex Legends, just something that's like doesn't require me to like pay attention too much type shit. And I'll just like take it in and like do like my cursory listen and like let the beats wash over me so that I can like really focus on like what's being said. And then from there, I try to look for like a nugget that I can like start the shit off with, because intros for me are the hardest part of writing any sort of piece of criticism. So I guess, for example, like with the Elzai thing, I'm thinking like, so Elzai hasn't really been written about on Pitchfork very much. And so like, I kind of had like a lot of room to just like talk about him and like his origins and like really hone in on a specific thing. And I thought about this Blockstar DVD magazine interview he did, where he explained how he like cracked the code to his rhyme
pattern. That's the craziest interview I've ever seen in my life.
Crazy, son. Bro, like just
you like... see Elzai, yeah? I see him live, bro. I left that concert. Why do I bother?
Like, why? He just don't understand. Like I didn't understand it, and then like because like I saw it years ago, and like I'm just watching him like break down on his thing, and just like this is it, you know? Like this is like. This is kind of like the live and die thing that I could be like, we start here and it's like, he does this. And then I try to build this seems kind of basic now that I'm saying, but like, I try to build my entire thing around that one central idea. Like the thesis is like, it starts with Elzai doing this. And like, this shows that he, like this shows how it endeared him to like Slum Village and how it endeared him to J Dilla. And then like make it, and then just like from there, just try to be like, you know, like Georgia and Muldrow can kind of meet him halfway, because they've both called themselves aliens in the past. Elzai has a song called Alienated. Georgia and Muldrow called herself an alien, and she feels like an alien in an interview. And it's like their styles are mutually compatible, right? Like her, like their beats are like mutually fluid and expansive to me, you know, like, or like her beats and his rhymes are like, they're just kind of in space at all times. So like,
it's crazy you say that, because when I heard about the album, I was confused. I was like, huh, really? Okay, it's Elzai. I'll buy it. Do you know what I mean? But now you said it like that, it makes total sense.
Because like at first I had the same reaction, but then I like listened to it and thought about the way they both went at it. And I was like, this actually makes perfect sense to me. Like, wow. Like you, I never would have imagined they would have done it, but it just flowed. And like, I heard it in the album and I was like, okay. So my point is like the two of them, like I tried to look for what they have in common, especially when it comes to like collaboration projects like this. Like, what do they have in common, or like what clash is making this interesting? And it's like, so okay, they have this in common. Do they execute that well? And then that becomes the rest of the review. Like I use specific examples and try to flip fucking like, you know, like metaphors and similes as best as I can. And like, you know, like I there are a few instances where I thought the bars could have been a little better, like on Elzai's part. Like he kind of like overstretches himself a little bit and like goes into certain things. And I'm like, I don't really know if I would have said that, but like, I don't want to give away the whole review, but like long story short, like I try to hone in on like a specific idea or like a little detail inside the thing that will help me. That will be like a microcosm of what I would want and need the whole album to do. Even if that isn't on the album, like that's why like it requires so much research to go through old interviews and just like watch and just like listen to old songs and all that stuff. Like I just try to look for a thing to focus on and then just like turn and then just like blow that up into CinemaScope and shit.
Dope.
I try. You know?
You do, bro, I respect your pen. Like seriously, I before I hand over to Sumit, your review about the listening by Little Brother, as someone, like I'm not trying to boast in it, I was outside for it. Like I was outside and I was inside, like the house listening to it. The way you broke down that album was like I hadn't heard it before. Even though I've heard it like millions of times, you brought so many new things out. And the part where you talked about Away From Me being recorded on September 11th, just blew my mind because I was like, okay, I hear that song differently now. Like Away From Me, what they're talking about, loss. What a day to record a song like that when we all suffered loss. And then you had these three guys in North Carolina penning the soundtrack for a pivotal life moment that they didn't even know that was going to happen. And we can reflect on it like 20 plus years later. I thought what you did was dope. So salute.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that because that was a rough one in particular. Like it was my first Sunday review over there, so like the pressure was just on to make the shit go crazy. And like I have such love and respect for Little Brother and everything they did. I came on late. I didn't hear the Minstrel Show for the first time until maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, but at that point I was like, what? You know, like just like they're and you're like, now that we're talking about concept albums, like the Minstrel Show is probably up there as one of my favorite concept albums too. Like there's so many I could list off, like between that and like the Deltron album is a great concept record. I'm gonna keep coming back to this as I think
of
more
course
records.
Of course, but I was saying the other day the Minstrel Show, they should, UBN needs to be a TV show. It would be hilarious.
I'm like kind of mad that I didn't wear my shirt because I have a UBN shirt that I just got like for Christmas.
Really?
And shit. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I just asked my wife for one for our anniversary. She's like, what do you want? And I said, a UBN shirt. Thanks.
Yo, like, but like that album is just like, I was, so like on that, so like there's, I feel like there were things I missed. Like as crazy as that went and as proud as I am of it, like the September 11th thing, I didn't, like I mentioned that in a tweet and I forgot to put it in the, like I was so focused and just like really wanted, like I was just so into research mode, especially after it was over, that I went to go look at, I went on the Genius page and I found out the 9/11 tidbit. And I was like, what? Like, I'm mad that I missed that. And I was in the emails. It's like, hey, like we need to add this. We need to add this. I got to fix this. We need to. And they're just like, Dylan, like it's over, bro. Stop. Like you need to let this go. Like, you know, like it was just like the pressure to make that as good as it needed to be was just like, cause like that album means a lot to me on top of the fact that it's just like a really incredible piece of work. That it's like, if you think about it, like, I think I mentioned it in the piece, but it was my editor, Jeremy, shout out to Jeremy Larson, who kind of like put the idea in my head. They were the first blog rappers. Like I never thought about Little Brother that way, but like they were the first blog rappers. Like they blew up on OK Player, you know, like people hadn't really done that way before. And like they built a fan, like they uploaded the four songs And then they found a bass on, or they uploaded the four songs. The four songs made their way to OK Player. And then the fans started to move it around, and Questlove picked it up. Like, they were the first blog rappers. Like, on top of how intricate that album is as a concept, just like the whole radio station and everything, like they broke that mold in a way that I didn't realize. So like that also recontextualized the album for me, and is kind of like a way for people my age or maybe slightly younger to be like, oh, they're the first blog rappers. Cool. Like that's a, that just seems like a thing that it seems simple, but it's like, huh, speak. It is.
I've got something coming. It might be out by the time you read this that really looks at how they built a fan base online. And I definitely used your piece as, I should tell you this. I used your piece as early inspiration.
He jacked
so
it.
So before I started my piece.
He full-time jacked me. He jacked it, bro. He took word for word.
Seriously. I've got to give you your props. Before I started it, I went back and I read your piece and I was like, this is the bar for me now. Like, I've got to do something as dope as this. And even if I don't reach it, it's no different to me when I record albums. I listen to Cuban Links, Word Life. Like, why do they sound this way? Then I try to deconstruct them and make my best interpretation of that. And I did the same with your piece. So I've got something coming that's going to really, you know, the whole OK Player history and how it happened. And I'm really looking forward to it coming. And I'll send it to you. But no, props for that piece, man. Because that album, bro, that album soundtracked my early 20s. I was 21 when that album came out, I think. Yeah.
Jeez.
Or 19. Like, 19. So
Christ.
That album soundtracked my young adulthood and my entry into the world. So first job, you know, started independence, my first computer, getting my own money. The listening was the soundtrack to that.
Sharecropping in this paper chase. And
come on, like, man. Energy drink. I need a blast, like high tech guy. Woo!
The other thing, Christ, I was going to interject, man, on and just say, the other thing he listens to when he makes his albums is just solo channels of my voice on Breaking Atoms as inspiration. That's the other thing he does. That really gets him in the mood. Just solo channels of Summit talking like this. Really just really lifts the album. But no, he's right. You've both done incredible work on the upcoming pieces, the listening piece, but also Chris's upcoming piece is excellent. But just taking a quick beat, you're a basketball fan, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not like heavy, but like I like basketball a lot.
So okay,
yeah.
So let's take the concept of a starting six. Right. And we're going to take a different beat because I want to get into some movie talk now. Right. So
yes, sir.
Give me your directors, like your directors all time, starting six. We have five-a-side football here. So I wouldn't have a five-a-side football team. But talk to me, you're through your team, your point guard, if I'm correct, your shooter, you know, defensive. Like, what's your starting six for directors?
Oh my God. shit. I'm always so difficult when it comes to directors, bro. Shit. I want to say, wow. This is yeah. I don't want to say I'm stumped, but like, oh, God, wow. Damn.
Okay. Moving on.
I want to say like, No. I'm gonna try. You asked that. That's a great question, and I definitely want to try to answer it. So, I want to say of all time. Well, I'm looking at it right now, so I'm gonna bring him up. The guy who made Parasite, my man Bong Joon-ho, is definitely he's up there for me. Just between
that film is
like
crazy.
That yeah, Parasite is crazy. If you've ever seen The Visitor. The Visitor is crazy. The monster movie.
That sounds scary.
Mother
I don't watch scary movies, bro. Stranger Things in the daytime for me. I don't watch scary things, bro.
The Visitor is definitely a scary movie. But like Bong Joon-ho is definitely on my list. I don't know where I'd place him. I'd probably make him like a point guard.
Okay.
Honestly, like if I had to pick, I'd probably make Bong Joon-ho my point guard. I want to say like a specific era of Spike Lee, because I was talking to a friend last night about Spike Lee, and there's like a specific era from like Do the Right Thing to Inside Man, where he was just like hitting threes like crazy, and then he made a decade of trash to kind of balance it out. But like
Inside Man's good. Inside Man's good.
Oh yeah, Inside Man's real good, but like everything from like Miracle at St. Anna up until Black Klansman was like
mid. It was mid.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know what that means. I just like hear the kids say it. It's mid.
It's mid, bro, for real. But like, Lloyd Kaufman, he founded Troma Studios, and he made the Toxic Avenger, which, and like, he's from Jersey, you know, Jersey's finest.
Jersey stand up.
Always. And like, I remember the first time I saw the Toxic Avenger, and just like how, like, I'm really big on like slapstick stuff, and like, and like really over exaggerated, like gross, like horror comedy shit. That's like my whole bag. I love that stuff. So I would have to throw somebody like Lloyd Kaufman into my starting six. I'm really doing this off the top right now. I don't have a six in my head. I want to say Paul Thomas Anderson is on my list right now, because like Paul Thomas, like I wasn't huge on Licorice Pizza. I don't know if y'all have seen or heard about Licorice Pizza, but
what on earth is that?
It's long story short, it's this movie about this like young actor boy who like starts a waterbed business and like falls in love with this like 25-year-old woman. It wasn't good. I kind of hated it. But like Paul Thomas Anderson's filmography is just so like, the scope of his movies really does something to me. You know, like it's just like between stuff like he made like There Will Be Blood and Boogie Nights and a bunch of other things, but like he just like his attention to detail and his sense of scope is really impressive and like very just like inspirational to me. So I would have to throw him on there. I can't think of two other people. Oh, actually, no. I'm gonna talk about it. Jordan Peele. Jordan Peele is actually gonna be in my starting six now. Like he's only made two movies and he's about to put out his third in July. But like, the thing I love about Jordan Peele is like he's a, you know, like Get Out. In my mind, Get Out is like a modern classic. Like that's a movie we're gonna be talking about in 20 years. It was like it both benefited and kind of ruined the film industry, because I feel like every black filmmaker in the world is kind of chasing that movie right now. And like, y'all don't need to do that. Like it was like a singular moment, let it go, move on. But like Jordan Peele, between Get Out and Us, like Us is a black horror film that's like not about blackness, which is a thing that a lot of black filmmakers are expected to always have something to say about blackness. And like the thing I loved about Us was that like the family, like it was a black family, but it was just a film about like them going through a thing that wasn't directly related to them being black. Just they were just able to exist in the world. And like him doing that really made me happy, because like there aren't too many examples of that in the world, at least not on the level that a movie like that was at. And also his just like understanding of the form and just like his skill. Like, just like I never would have imagined the guy doing Mad TV skits would have a movie like Get Out in him, like ever, right. ever. Like to go from there to that, like, wow. You know, like on your first go, goaded off of that alone. I can't think of one more right now, okay. But maybe later we'll think of one more.
What you do, tweet us with your six man, and we'll make sure we mention it online, because I need to know. I used to play basketball myself, but then I discovered food and women, and it's been bad ever since. It's been bad.
I feel it, bro. The last time I tried to shoot a ball, I did okay at it, but like I haven't played in years, and like I really only like casually observe what's going on in the league right now.
Oh yeah, I mean I don't follow basketball like I used to. Like growing up, I was Orlando Magic, just because I liked the tag team of Shaq and Anthony Hardaway. Yeah, I like Anthony Hardaway. But yeah, Orlando Magic was my first favorite team. Yeah, Orlando Magic.
Do you know why I love the Orlando Magic?
Tell me why.
Because Tracy McGrady was on the team and he punted a ball into the crowd.
I had his shirt. Was he number one?
I'm pretty sure he was number one.
Yeah, I remember I bought my Tracy McGrady jersey in Miami. I had the old school Denver Nuggets one as well. Oh man, I threw all these away because, you know, there was a point in hip hop fashion where wearing that stuff wasn't cool anymore.
No, you're trash. That's what it is. You threw it in the trash. You're trash.
Be quiet, innit? Like I was saying, there was a point where all that stuff wasn't cool anymore. And now it's cool again. And I'm just like, I've literally thrown hundreds of pounds worth of clothes away just because I was trying to keep up with the trends. Big lesson to me. Don't follow trends.
Everything moves in cycles, man. That's, yep. you know, like Q-Tip said that and shit. And yep. like,
but Q-Tip's rich.
Right.
yeah, I'm also Q-tip's a trend rich. Follower, not a trendsetter. Just throwing it out there. Just...
Hey, man. The honesty is where, like I'm a trend follower too. Like, fuck right. it. It's all
Summit's
good.
Basically like, saying yeah, he has no source of his own in it. Like, this is we don't celebrate this. We don't celebrate this. We don't co-sign this. No doubt. Speak to you in a bit, bro. So let's take this one home, Dylan. I look to you as someone who's really on the pulse of what's happening in music, what's happening in hip hop. You're not romanticizing the past. You look to the future and you're always aware of what's new or what's coming up from your own personal experiences. Like for our listeners out there, who are some of the hip hop artists that you're listening to at the moment that you particularly enjoy and you think have bright futures?
Oh man, I'm so happy you asked me this question because I've been stuck on this new Babytron album. For anybody who doesn't know, Babytron is a rapper out of Detroit. He's big on punchlines and he like punches in a bunch. So you could tell that he like records from like bar to bar most of the time. But that guy is just like he's like a kid. He can't be older than like his like early 20s. You know, something like that, or maybe he's a little older. Either way, I'm getting too into it. So Babytron is fantastic, and like he's just like all about the bars and all about like his team of producers has these like incredible fucking 80s samples that they do, and like and like he does like kind of the like spice rap out of Detroit, so it kind of moves at a crazy pace. Like the stuff that's kind of like that's like popping in like Detroit and the Bay Area, and like. Those are the main two places, but like Babytron's got it going crazy right now. He just put out a crazy project called Megatron that I've just okay. been stuck on for a while. I really love that. I'm big on this guy, Doo-Wop Kane. I forget where he's from, but he just makes like his music is just vibes. I don't know. Like
sometimes it's, you need that. Like, you just need vibes.
Yeah. Like he's got bars in there, but it's just like real like. I just feel like I'm floating through like a screensaver. Like remember like the old like screensavers that used to just look like space and shit.
Nice. Okay.
This kid Red Veil out of Maryland is really, really incredible. He's been I always feel kind of contentious about using the term lo-fi, but he kind of makes music in that type of headspace. He just put out a great single called Diving Board this past week that I really fuck with a lot. So Red Veil is great. I just reviewed the new Chris Crack album for Pitchfork. Chris Crack is great out of Chicago.
Yeah, I've got a couple of his super albums.
Super fucking dope. Shout out to Chris Crack. Fly Anakin, his album's coming out tomorrow. Frank is fantastic.
You should listen to Fly Anakin on a plane.
Why is that? Is it because of his name or?
When I flew to Cuba, I listened to his Smoke Break album, the one with Pink Saifu.
Ah, yes.
And when you think about the texture of the music and just kind of the zone it puts you in, looking out the plane window at the Atlantic Ocean, listening to Mutant Academy just was a different experience. It was dope. And I had some liquor in me as well, so I was feeling nice. Yeah, it was a wave.
It's crazy because the first time I heard Pink Sifu's Ensley was on a plane. I was coming home from Portland and I fell asleep halfway through, not because I was bored. I was just tired. But like, I listened to it again when I got off the plane and I just like took that album in and at that point I knew, and like Sifu is somebody else. Like Sifu just put out Gumbo Deluxe, which is also incredible. And like, that's the homie, shout out to Liv. Like it's just, yeah, like there's like so many textures and like Liv's music is so warm. And he just kind of like dissolves into the music he makes and like becomes a part of it in a way that really few artists these days do. And like Fly Anakin is somebody who's like out front and like he's like barreling through the shit and just like barred up and just like, and you know, like not, and like not that Sifu isn't barred up because like of course he is, but like, like their styles kind of contrast in that really cool way, which is why Fly Sifu's and Smoke Breakers projects like work the way they did.
Yeah, because I love those projects.
Well together.
Yeah, I love
like,
those.
Yeah, like real incredible. Like the two of them are absolutely dope. And I'm trying to think of one other person to not talk your ear off too much.
No, or actually go ahead,
two
bro.
People. Wi-Fi God out of DC is nuts. He just put out a great project called Chain of Command. He makes like plug music, if y'all know what plug music is. If not, go look it up. It's like, I don't know how to explain plug music. It's like music with like really, really blown out bass, like to the point where like you think your headphones might be broken or like the speaker might be broken. And just like really, it's like real saturated and real blown out and just like very cloud rap on ketamine. That's what I want to say. It's like Clams Casino and ketamine, right. You know, and like Wi-Fi God kind of makes music like that. And then the last person I'm gonna mention is Jungle Pussy from New York.
You know what? These young kids with their names, I ain't gonna lie. Whether you like the names or not, they stand out.
Like, come on. Like, like Jungle Pussy is not a name you could ever forget. She just put out an incredible EP called JP5000. She's been going for like a decade. I forget where in New York she's from, but like she's been running with people like Wiki and them. And like, I'm sure you're familiar with Wiki. Like,
Yeah.
So like,
he does stuff with, where did I hear him? Euro Droog.
Him and Droog have an EP together. And but like Jungle Pussy, she makes so many different kinds of music, but she's just like rapping over all of it. Like, she just goes. And you know, like Wiki is also great. His album Half God that was produced by Navy Blue is incredible. And Navy Blue, another one. Like, Navy Blue is really incredible. Like it feels to me like there's more of an emphasis being put back on people's rapping. You know, like, I love production. I love beats. I love vibes. I love all of that stuff. That stuff is beautiful. I'm not the type of person who subscribes to whatever people complaining about mumble rap. That shit's not real to me. It's kind of annoying. I hate when people say that shit. But like, we're at a point now where like people are kind of like fiending for bars, you know, like somebody like a Babytron can just be out here just spitting over beats and like people like kids eat it up. Like Tyler, the Creator, just put out a fucking Gangsta Grillz homage. Like in 2021, yeah, like, true, and the true. Album is nothing but loops and bars. It's just loops and bars. That's it. You know, like, we're at a point now where like, regardless of the type of production that you're on, like, people want raps, you know? And like, that's a beautiful thing to me. People want to hear the raps. And I'm just like, so grateful for that. Like that's amazing to me.
Well, bro, I appreciate your musical taste. I appreciate your insight. I just appreciate your presence in the culture. And one of the best things about just being creative, you know, from music to podcasting, is that you end up meeting people who are like kindred spirits and just good people. And you are definitely one of those people that we've met. So thank you so much, not just for today, but for being part of our Blueprint series, just for supporting us, for advocating for dope stuff as well. It doesn't even have to be Breaking Atoms. I think just that there's someone out there that's passionate, you know, and there's a few of you, someone that's passionate about the art and can articulate their passion in a way that has rationale and excitement, as opposed to just, this is dope. No one talks about this. You don't know anything. I really appreciate that.
Thank y'all, man. I'm a person who's really big on bridging whatever gaps are in this thing, like whether they be generational or style, like, and just like the fact that y'all have been so kind to me, and just like everything that you do, man, like, just like, thank you so much for like, for the platform and the kudos, and just like, you know, like thank you. to both you and Sumit, but like you in particular, like, you're someone who's like, you know, like, you're making music and you're documenting this, and like, you're documenting this culture that you love so much, and like, that intersection is incredibly inspiring to me. Just like, just because like, we're all creatives in this, and to like see the way that you and Sumit kind of move through this with like the knowledge and respect and just like the energy that you bring to this is like
nice. I like,
you know,
that.
Like, it just continually shows me that there is more that I have to look forward to as I keep going. And like, I just, we're all in this together. Like, we're all we got. And like, there's like being elitist serves no one. Like, there's a difference between being a gatekeeper. There's a difference between being a gatekeeper and being an elitist. And like, we need each other. I'm big on community. So just thank you for including me in your community. I appreciate it.
Peace to Dylan once again. We have to get that full rundown of the basketball five and the directors, I think.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was very, very.
I want to start playing basketball again, actually.
Yeah, you should. I mean, it's great. It's great exercise, and I think I used to watch basketball when I was younger, and I just stopped doing it, and I think it's just basketball's real, man. Like the athleticism, the tension, the drama, all of that. Yeah. It's perfect, so
integral with hip hop culture. Just like, you know, it's you know, sport and music in general, but hip hop and basketball, just like wrestling, in my opinion, are kind of
yes.
Hand in glove. Is that the same? Is that what he used?
Yeah.
Hand in glove. Aki and Swordfish.
Hand in glove, but not Johnny Cochran and OJ Simpson and that, because the glove didn't fit, bro.
That was so. I still can't get
over. Glove that, don't fit.
You must quit.
There you go, bro.
Johnny Cochran should have had a rap album.
All his features
would have been Man, he got off.
No, that's wrong. He should have done some interludes though. That's for real.
Rest in peace, Johnny Cochran. I know a lot of people went to prison when he died.
Yeah. He got a lot of man off.
Yeah. Some man who was guilty too.
Yes, and they were absolutely guilty. But basketball is a great sport. But no, Dylan, man, I love how well-rounded Dylan is.
Yeah.
He's just he's a very curious person, but he's also very open, and I love that, man.
Yeah,
and,
he called me a legend at the beginning of the interview. He said I got songs with Odyssey. In my head, I was like, don't lie in it. Nah, I appreciate the props, but I did say in my head, come on, man. You know, I'm not a legend out here, innit? Look at me in my little flat.
Nah, it's fine. Take it, man.
Safe.
Take it where you get it, man. It's all good. Like,
get it how you live in that.
That's right. But no, Dylan is a real one. We appreciate you. Thank you for coming on, and hope to have you back very soon.
Mm-hmm.
This will probably be the last episode you'll hear from us for a short while. We're taking a little hiatus.
Sabbatical.
Just simply because we've got shit to do and
life
we don't want
to
give you life to live, but also we don't want to give you half-assed content, right? We want to just focus on what we're doing and doing that right. And then when we come back, hopefully with the War Report series, and more interviews, we just want to make sure that until then you just hold tight. It's the old episodes.
We'll be doing the classics as well. We'll be reissuing some of our classic episodes, the stuff that broke the internet and the stuff that kind of went under the radar too. We'll be sharing those.
We
broke the internet, bro.
We broke the internet. The dark web at least. Wow, don't go there. That's just not even. That's where like the real dirtbags live. I don't want to live there.
Sorry.
But so yeah, you be sorry. But no, live your lives. Check in with loved ones. Hug a friend. Hug loved ones. Just take care of yourselves. We will be back very, very soon. But until then, peace and love.
Peace.